Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 93 on the game. Hope you're having a safe drive in. Understand the weather's going to get a little rock and roll-y. Later on tonight, that's what the weatherman says, so batten down the hatches. We're going to have Jason Longshore in about 20 minutes from now talking about Atlanta United and their game coming up against FC Dallas. Oh, by the way, speaking of the game on Saturday at Mercedes-Benz, the Esperanza Supporters Club is going to tailgate in the Gulch before the game. The tailgate starts at noon, because that's one thing I got to tell you, Five Stripers. We'll get back to the Falcons in a moment. You Five Stripers, you do the tailgates right. Great food and drinks available. We're going to be on site with them, with the Esperanza Supporters Club. We'll have our scarves on sale. If you haven't bought one yet, they're really cool. It's on the events page at 929thegame.com for more information. And our events page on our website, well, our website's great. And our events page has a ton of stuff listed, so keep that in mind as we go forward. All right, I want to open the phone lines here, have you talk a little bit about this schedule, because I have a couple questions for you at 404-741-0929. Question number one is, what do you make of the schedule at large? How do you feel about it? Hugh, you look at the schedule, opening at Minnesota on the road, right, that's fine. Bye week is a good thing at week nine, in my opinion. This is just my take, and this is why I want to hear yours.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the back half of this schedule.
The gauntlet. Yeah, man. I'm telling you, as a former player, to see that and to see those division opponents back to back like that, that right there, mentally, like I'm mentally preparing for that right now. If I'm playing, I have to mentally prepare right now for the back half of that schedule. And that means that I'm going to be in the gym working out just a little bit harder, knowing that I'm going to have to run that gauntlet.
I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this. I was, when I first saw it and it popped right at 8 o'clock last night, I went, what? Bye week is week nine. And then first eight games, last eight games. So the bye week is exactly at the halfway point of the season. In the second half of the season, all six division games. There are eight, six of those are division games, including five straight.
Yeah, it gets real. It gets realer than real. And that's the thing, man, because, you know, I can tell you, being in the division and playing your division opponent, those are some physical games. They might not look like it from the stands, but, boy, you feel those. You feel those. And to have them back-to-back like that, that's tough. And great, I know Coach Quinn and the coaches, they're going to do a great job of getting these guys ready. But just the mental part of the game, that's the thing that you really worry about, is mentally just getting up for those games. Because you're going to have to roll. Those are going to be some tough games.
I can tell you what we're going to be talking about in the bye week. One of the big topics in the bye week in week nine will be the next five games. They have five straight division games. In Stinky Town against the Winer Swampers. At Carolina, so it's back-to-back road games. Home against Tampa. Thanksgiving night, primetime national TV with the Swampers here. And then home against Carolina. Five straight division games. Stinky Town, Carolina. Tampa, Swampers, Carolina. Wow. Both of your games against Carolina and both your games against the Swampers in a five-game stretch.
Yeah, it's no joke, man.
That is no joke. And by the way, the first five games you play this year, the Falcons have to have one of the top five toughest, on paper, one of the top five toughest schedules in the NFL.
Yeah, they do. No doubt. Because you look at that gauntlet they're going to have to run at the second half of the season, man. That ain't easy.
Or the first five either. How about Minnesota, Eagles, Colts, Titans, Texans to start the season?
Yeah. Whew. A couple playoff teams in there, sprinkled in there. Arizona should be a little bit of a breather, but you never know.
I mean, man. You never know. And then you got the Rams.
Don't forget Seattle, too.
Seattle. Luckily, you get him here, but you get Russ coming into town, right? Dante in Atlanta. Dante, welcome to the show. What do you make, Dante, of this Falcons schedule with all of your division games after the bye?
honestly, I think we'll be playing our best football on the, at the end of the year. I looked at the schedule. None of these games seem unwinnable. And I think after the bye, the Falcons will be clicking on all cylinders, and we'll have a home divisional playoff game.
Well, I would say this. I certainly hope you're right. If we can survive November and those four division games in November, if, just taking it by quadrants, Dante, you look at December, Carolina at home, at San Francisco, Jacksonville at home, and at Tampa, the Falcons are going to be favored in all four of those games. I mean, you could have a 4-0 December.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we go 12-4. We'll drop one game at least that we're supposed to win. But we'll be playing our best football after the bye. And that's when we need to be playing our best football, playing those divisional games.
I appreciate it, Dante in Atlanta, 404-741-0929. Yeah, just taking it by quadrants, Hugh, the third quadrant is four games against division foes. The fourth quadrant, though, as I mentioned, if you can survive November, you look at December, and my first thought about December is you're going to be favored in all four of the games coming down the stretch.
Yeah, that Carolina game is going to be a little, you know, you never know with the Carolina.
But it's here.
Yeah, San Francisco, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, yeah. I'll say that, yeah. You're going to go into it.
I don't know if you win all four, but my thing is today.
I can't see San Francisco making that huge leap, though. I'm sorry. I understand that everybody's hyped on San Francisco. I don't see San Francisco being that good this year. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, people are really hot on San Francisco, that's for sure. And the Kyle Shanahan effect, and that's him against the Falcons out in San Francisco.
Yeah, this is what his third season there with the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
And, his quarterback's healthy. You never know. You know, I just don't see it. I just don't see it readily.
Coach Steve's in Sugar Hill. He's on with John and Hugh.
Coach,
hey, Coach
Steve.
Welcome to the show.
So good to be with you guys on the show this morning. I can feel the excitement building just listening to the show this morning. Just overall, just in the league-wide, and particularly our coach, Coach Dan, and the situation we're in. We're in this we've got everything to lose situation where our guys showing up like today up there at camp. By God, we're in a we've got everything to lose situation. I'm feeling more excitement at this moment than I did, on our run to the Super Bowl. And I just want to tell you guys how much I appreciate the coverage. And thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, that's Coach Steven Sugarhill, 404-741-0929. And it is our pleasure on a daily to do that, Steve. I say, and this is my tweet that has been retweeted by 92.9 The Game Hugh, I say, hey, at NFL, can you please schedule Rise Up versus Weiner Swampers in Week 17 every season, please, either at Mercedes-Benz Stadium or in Stinky Town? I want to play those guys last. Now, do you, yes, N versus Swampers, no, okay if it's a division game?
I'm okay if it's a division game. I hear what you're saying, and I understand your the whole rivalry thing and how you want to play out. But I'm cool with the division game.
Because you play the Swampers in Week 10 and Week 13. I will say the highlight of the schedule is without question that Thanksgiving game. You're putting – the Thanksgiving schedule itself, on paper is a little weak. The Thanksgiving schedule was, the three games that are – because the first two are kind of – I mean, you have kind of classic games, but – and, of course, we can't know how good teams are. I mean, Bears-Lions could be great. That's to start the day. But the middle game is the Bills and the Cowboys in Dallas. Doesn't exactly scream, rivalry, Bills-Cowboys. Kind of an interesting game to put on Thanksgiving, Bills-Cowboys. But then the late game, 8:20 kick, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Falcons and Saints. I mean, that is something.
Yeah, so I guess that means this year we won't be going anywhere for Thanksgiving. We'll be right here.
Brian's right. That's what you eat, Bills-Cowboys. How do you? When are we having Thanksgiving dinner?
Bills-Cowboys. When they start playing, we're going to start eating.
Right.
So we can be ready for the Saints, Saints and the Falcons.
Then we'll have the eating game, and then we'll sit down and watch the Saints.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to have to make a phone call to Rise Up Catering and get some food catered because we ain't going to be able to go nowhere. So we got to get a turkey and some pies or something. Shout out to Rise Up Catering. Shameless plug.
The NFL schedule is out. The Falcons open with Minnesota. They end with Tampa. They open and close on the road this season. And it will be a lot of fun to see what happens. The Falcons, of course, going through voluntary workouts right now. No Grady, no Julio. We're going to work all that kind of stuff out. And I know that there is some excitement building. And I kind of echo a little bit of what Coach Steve said, because I looked at the schedule in quadrants and said, man, can you survive November? with both games against Stinky Town in November, the second game. The good thing about the short week on Thanksgiving is that the Saints and Falcons have the same bye week, all right? So they both have the ninth bye week, and the Thursday night game comes on a short week, but the Falcons are playing a home game the week before against Tampa. New Orleans is on the road the week before, and so they're going to have a road game and then another road game and be a short week, so that'll be kind of good. No, I'm sorry. New Orleans is at home, but they've got to go on the road. Pardon me. I checked that. But they've got to go on the road in the short week, and we don't. So they have to travel in the short week, and we do not. And that's always – I always hear that you know, nobody likes the short week. But if you're at home, it's a big advantage because
– You don't have to travel.
You don't
you
have to travel.
You sleep in your own bed.
Yeah, and you also – but you also get an extra day, which becomes premium on a short week. You don't have to travel on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's the big thing, man. That's the big thing. You can get the – sleep in your own bed or be in a familiar space, you know, instead of having to travel. You can be at home and you can enjoy, like say you won't be at home because I'm pretty sure the night before the game, well, the night before the game you are staying in a hotel, but you have your family around because I'm pretty sure that guys are going to have family in town for Thanksgiving and the things of that nature, so you don't have to go that far. When the game's over, when you get that W, you can just go on ahead to the house.
You know, somebody was asking me, they're talking about Monday Night Football, why would you put the Jets-Ravens in Week 15? It's a critical Week 15. It's not a division game. It's the Jets. Who thinks the Jets are going to be any good? And my answer to you is, understand something. It's Le'Veon Bell. And the Jets may be good, but it's not about whether the Jets are going to be any good. It's about just we're trying to get television ratings, and it's a New York team. That's why.
Let me keep my comments about the Jets to myself, because they did draft me. I got to show them a little bit of respect for that. But man, don't nobody want to see the Jets. Don't nobody want to see that. That's just like, watch the Browns and the Jets. Who wants to see that, though? Seriously. I'm saying, like, listen. Who wants to see that on a Monday night? Hey, what you doing tonight? Hey, I'm going to watch the Browns and the Jets play. Now, I get the Odell Beckham, the tie-in there. But, dog, really, Monday Night Football, though? Seriously? Seriously.
Week 15, no less.
Seriously? I don't get that.
And somebody was pointing out to me, and I looked just broadly on paper, and again, it's all on paper, looking at the Jets-Ravens game's a Thursday night game. But the Sunday Night Football schedule might be better than the Monday Night Football. I want to amend that. The Jets-Ravens is a Thursday night game. Is Sunday night a bigger deal than Monday night now to you?
To me, Monday Night Football is the night as a guy that you get to get out. Like, if you're married or you have a significant other, that was usually the guy's night, especially during the season. That's the night you say, hey, babe, I'm going to watch football with the fellas. But to your point, when I look at these Monday night schedules, like this week two, Browns and Jets, you ain't too much. You probably ain't going to get out of the house. Unless you live in Cleveland or New York, you probably won't even get out of the house if you're in New York. You can watch that game at home. Sit your butt down. Like, if you're in Cleveland, you could probably get out of the house for that one. Man, that's a tough one to tell somebody, hey, babe, I'm going to watch the Browns and the Jets. For real? And to your point, they might be better. They might be much better teams. I would be excited to see the Browns over the Jets. I would rather see, say, for instance, if I was moving around the schedule, the Browns against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an exciting game for the simple fact that for the Browns, this is where their season kind of hinged on that tie game that they had against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to see that. I just feel like they could have done better with the Browns. They could have gave them a better team to play instead of the Jets.
Yeah, well, we're asking you, I mean, do you want to end the season with the Saints every year? Yes, or you says, and 40% of you have said so far, a little over 40%, that you are okay with just ending it with a division team, which, by the way, is going to happen. The NFL has now made this schedule so that you end with a division team. This year it happens to be Tampa. It's been Carolina in the past. But I would love it if the NFL would give us the New Orleans game. Maybe they don't understand how big the rivalry is. Maybe it's too difficult for them. I can't imagine how difficult it is to put this schedule together. But when they put the schedule together and put all the division games in the second half of the season, by the way, this is not just the Falcons. I think you have one of the games. Well, one of the games is isn't it an international game, one of the division games? I think so, right? It's an international game. Isn't Carolina-Tampa an international game? I lost my sheet here for a second. Which one is it, Brian? It's in weeks, and that is in England. Is that correct? Yeah, Tottenham Stadium. Panthers-Bucks is going to be in England. They play that in the first half of the season. The Saints play a division game in the first half of the season. But five of the six Saints division games are after the bye, including both the games against the Falcons. So it's not like the Falcons are alone. But, boy, you talk about backloading. And I'm not sure how I feel about that, Hugh. I mean, wouldn't you want to – do you want to have a division game in the first month of the season? Seems to me you would.
I like it like this, John, because that means you make it to the playoffs. You've earned it. Like, for real. Like, it's no easier for the Saints. Everybody's talking about the Saints. Saints got almost the same schedule as the Falcons, except they play one division game at the first in the first half of the season. It's about the same thing. If you make it to the playoffs in the AFC South this year, NFC South, excuse me, you deserve it. For real, for real.
Of course, Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to be jumping in the last half of the Falcons season all season long. And as it jumps, Saturday it's going to be jumping with Atlanta United. Jason Longshore about what the Five Stripes are going to bring to the house on Saturday night next.
Stadium.
It all starts with Dukes and Bell at 2 p.m. on draft day. And then our NFL draft show from 7 to 11 with Mike Conti, Wes Durham, Dave Archer, and Randy McMichael.
No one can cover the draft like us because our Falcons play here.
It's just time to go.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Big weekend ahead, as you know. I got to stop saying that because it occurs to me, Hugh, I don't know, is there a weekend in Atlanta anymore that is not a big weekend?
Especially since it's starting to get warm, John, and it's sundress season. It's sundress season. It's awesome. It's a lot going on every weekend in Atlanta. I just kind of stumped you with that, huh?
No. I was just thinking about
it. Sundress season.
I can't really partake in it though anymore.
Yes, you can. You can get the Maven some sundresses. This is the best time you get her sundresses and.
Dude, if I bought my wife any piece and article of clothing, it would be like, "What are you doing?
What's wrong with that? Tell her you want it. Say, listen here, woman. This is what I want you to wear. Say it just like that. You're 9 years in, John. You can make suggestions of what you would like your wife in. You can. That's not a problem.
There's a truth. Right, for any fathers of teenagers out there, there's an old truth that is teenagers now that is absolutely true. Especially when you have a teenage daughter, there are three things a father cannot do. You cannot pick her clothes, you cannot pick her music, and you cannot pick her friends.
That's not your daughter, though.
All right, hang on.
That's your wife.
Look, you can't pick her clothes, you can't pick her music, and you can't pick her friends for a teenage daughter. Guess what? When it comes to your wife, you can't pick her clothes, you can't pick her music,
you can't pick her friends. You can make suggestions of what you like to see your wife in. And as far as your daughter's clothes,
yes.
Well, you can pick her out an outfit and she can wear it if you want to see her in it. I don't see that as a problem.
If I get a size too small, she's going to go, you don't even know my size, you're not paying attention.
Well, that's why you
if
find
I get a size
out her
too
size.
Large, oh, you think I'm fat? I mean,
John, your best bet to get a sundress, I've seen your wife.
My best bet is to buy her a gift card.
Your wife's slender, medium. Medium sundress. I'm not sizing up his wife, Daryl. I'm just saying. It's not hard to pick out a size. And if you want your wife to wear something nice, you pick it out and she'll probably even commend you.
I don't
for
know
it.
What size she is, a two or a three. I have no idea.
See, that's what I'm saying. John, you get a sundress.
You just go to medium. Closet
and you could probably get away with a small.
I don't. Is that how they are? Are they like two, three, four, five, six,
eight? It all depends on what
eight?
Kind you get. It all depends on what kind of sundress you get.
No, I don't think so. I'm not.
Don't blow a gasket, John. Do not blow.
No, not going to touch that.
But you should be able to, if you've been married as long as you say, hey, babe, you know, I would like to see you in this. You know, we're going out. Hey, put this on. I mean, that's easy. She'll probably look at you like, oh, my gosh, John Freaky, I didn't know you had it in you. And, you know, you take out, put in a little sundress, and y'all go out and hang out and, you know, eat barbecue or whatever
What the Maven would do
go dancing or whatever.
She would say,
this
is what the Maven would do. She'd say, oh, honey, thank you. I love you. And she'd hug me and kiss me on the cheek. And I'd be, okay. And the next day I would see her, like, I'd probably drive by the avenues and see her returning.
Dude, I'm telling you, if you get the thing about sundress, you just get a nice one. You get a nice little, you know, sundress and tell her to throw it on and have a nice little day.
From the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, from a Saints fan, I had to read it twice because it was texted in Cran. John only wants the Saints at the end of the season because he hopes it won't matter. It's classic, isn't it? Of course, you're right. I hope it won't matter. It always matters when we're playing you. You know, an unbeaten season to a lot of us Falcons fans, an unbeaten season is 2-0 record, okay? That's an unbeaten season. You know,
I would normally probably, like, say agree, but there's too much on the line this year. I mean, it's like something on the line every year, but 2-14, I can't see any Falcons fan talking about, hey, we had a good season. We beat the Saints twice. I can't see that. Now, they used to say that with the Dallas Cowboys and the Eagles, but now, no, the stakes are higher. The stakes are much higher. Would love to beat them twice and go 14-2 or maybe 13-3.
I'd rather go 10-6 and beat the Saints twice than 11-5 and split with them, no matter what it costs me in terms of the playoffs.
But what if 11-5? Ooh, that's strong.
Yep.
That is strong.
I'd rather go on the road to open the playoffs and not have a home game because I would. I'd rather because
Road Warriors in the NFC have favored well in the past few years. So, yeah, okay, I got you. I feel you, man. I hear you.
Last year was a disaster for a lot of reasons, not the least of which was what happened with those guys. It was a double disaster. Disaster of epic proportion. And they've got it on us right now. I mean, the only saving grace is that they can't win a playoff game to save their lives. But, you know, I mean, man. And so, and he did respond and say, by the way, you know, something to the effect of, you know, there's always a chance for a third game. You're right. There's always a chance for a third game. Wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't you love that third game this year? That's what we need between us and the Swampers.
I don't want to play nobody that I played twice a third time. That's just me. That happened. That happened to us one time when I played for the Eagles. We had to play the Giants three times. And they beat us all three times, and one time was.
But I thought
in the playoffs.
You never beat teams three times.
Yeah, that was the old saying. You can't beat them three times in a row in one season. Guess what? We got waxed three times. Nah.
Mercedes-Benz going to be jumping this weekend. FC Dallas in town. Now, FC Dallas has played really well so far this season. They already have four wins, but they're a little dinged up too. As we were talking to some of the. Five stripers. They finally got on the plus side here. There's a growing sense now that Atlanta United has its first win of the year that the five stripes are about to take off and set flight, that they're very close to connecting. We saw them in a 2-0 win over New England, almost make it 5 or 6-0. And now here comes FC Dallas, a team that's kind of a thorn in their side. Of course, complete coverage on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game coming up on Saturday night with Mike Conley and Jason Longshore. And as we look at looking ahead to Atlanta United just for a moment, if we can, do you get the sense? I know that we've had Jeff Lorenowitz told us yesterday. We've had a lot of other people started to say, Mike Conley, for example, say, we're right there. Do you get the sense that they are, in fact, right there and ready to break out?
It's always felt like that. It's kind of ironic that, you look at the contribution of Ezekiel Barco coming in off the bench, doing what he was able to do and becoming the player of the week like he did. Kind of what's going on with Atlanta United. But to your point, John, yes, they've looked like they were about to turn the corner. And to have Ezekiel Barco come in off the bench like that, he might be the spark that they needed. He might be the catalyst.
Well, a couple of things are true. One is Julian Gressel has just missed. I mean, you can see the frustration in his face. Tito has just missed multiple times. You see the frustration in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph has missed multiple golden opportunities, and you see the frustration in his face. One of the things, I don't think Atlanta United hasn't had a penalty kick this year. I don't believe in MLS play, right? Somebody, a five-striper, you'd have to, text me or tweet me and let me know that that's the case. I don't believe so in MLS play, just off the top of my head. Whenever it happens, and we also know this is true about Atlanta United, just generally, Hugh, when they score first and score in the first 15 minutes, they dictate the game.
Most of the time.
Okay. All right, so all those things are true. By the way, I should amend, the Dallas game, the kickoff is an unusual time Saturday. It's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, so it's probably the second game of the doubleheader on TV. 4 o'clock kick in a Saturday afternoon, pregame at 3:30 with Mike and Jason. That's why the Esperanza Supporters Club is going to begin at noon, and we're going to be down there as part of the tailgate on Saturday. So a 4 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yeah, I think it's going to happen, but, Hugh, I'm going to say something. I'm going to amend this why I asked a question. It's not going to happen on a consistent basis until we get Pity Martinez involved in this to the point where he is an active, productive member of this team, scoring and serving.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what they're trying to do. You talk about, him and his accolades that he brought over here from the club that he was previously at. He's a good player. There's no question about that, John Fricke. He just has to get on the same page with everybody else, and he has to start, pulling his weight a little bit. I don't think there's any pressure of him to do that so far, but as a competitor, I'm pretty sure that he's at the point right now where he wants to start, seeing the results from his hard work. And I think it's coming. But I think as a whole, the team is starting to look like they're turning the corner, and individuals are starting to get there eventually. As long as you keep winning, it makes it easier to have pity, you know, kind of go through the growing pains that he's going through right now.
So we said, and we're going to let it, there are no excuses, but we're going to let it be an excuse, okay? The schedule was unfavorable to Atlanta United.
It was tough.
At the beginning of the year. They had to go into a, you know, CONCACAF play. They had to fly all over the world and the hemisphere anyway to play these games to Costa Rica and Mexico and fly up to D.C. They were playing in terrible weather. They had a brand new coach. They were minus their star player, you know, in terms of the star playmaker and Miggy. All these things were true. And so we say, okay, we'll give them a pass. So we gave them a pass to this point. Now let's see it. They've had a chance to finally rest, to get everybody on the same page. They train. They're going to play Saturday against Dallas. They have another week off to train and rest before they play Colorado. They have another week off to train and rest before they play Kansas City. And then it begins, because in May, they play on May 5th. They play on May 8th. They play on May 12th. They play on May 15th, and they play on May 19th. They play 5 games in 2 weeks in May. But they've been through this grind, too. Only this time, when they go into this grind, Hugh, the travel isn't bad, the weather's going to be better, and this team's got its feet underneath them, and they know what they're going to face because they've done it this year already. So if they're going to take off, now's the time. May's going to be critical to them.
Yeah, and that's kind of like in the vein of what Mike Conte was talking about. Shout out to Mike Conte when he said that he wants to see what happens over the span of these last 3 games. We already got one down. We got 2 more to go.
So Major League Baseball is all up in his feelings about this kid with the White Sox, this hot shortstop, Anderson, and what he did last night. We'll tell you what he did and whether or not you think they ought to just, I don't know, let the kids play. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
Radio 92.9 the Game.
John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Coming up top of the hour, Dan Wolkin. Talk some college football, get a kind of look-see ahead to the UGA spring game coming up on Saturday and Tech spring game coming up on Friday the 26th. And if you're going to the spring game in Athens day after tomorrow, you want to join us. We're going to be at Grindhouse Killer Burgers on Lumpkin. You know, you can't miss it if you know the Athens area right there on Lumpkin. Bunker Mentality with Mark Owens, Friday night, 7 to 11. They're going to be there tomorrow night. And then college football game time, Randy Mack, Chris Goforth, and John Chuckery are going to be there for Saturday from 9 to 1, and all of us are going to be partaking in their show and be part of that. That'll be Saturday from 9 to 1. Matter of fact, Brian's going to produce that. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Yeah. Everybody's going to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice time, man. It's going, you know, football is back. Football is inching closer and closer to being back. So, yeah, we're going to all be there. We're going to talk about the dogs, the Georgia Bulldogs, and look and see what's going on campus and watch a little bit of the spring ball game.
You know, matter of fact, speaking of the Bulldog, I got where was this one here? Talking about when I said to you I'd rather, you know, beat the rivals and maybe take a little hit in the playoff standings to do so. This guy from the 770 hits the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line saying, that's some Georgia Tech logic there. Measure success if you beat your rival. Well, but so I wrote him back and I said, okay, let me ask you a question. Would you rather go 11-1 and lose to Florida or 11-1 and lose to A&M? Does it matter? You're 11-1 and you're going to be the East champs or not? I mean, of course it always matters if you beat your rival.
Well, bragging rights for that. But I'm looking at it for seeding purposes, man. Let me go ahead and get that. Let me get that 11-5 in a better seed. You know, that's how I look at it. But, no, I get it. I've been there. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've never been in that situation. But it's like I'm thinking now with the more strategic thought process. But, no, I get it. I definitely get it. I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't.
So, last night, the White Sox have a hot young shortstop. His name is Tim Anderson. And matter of fact, I think he leads major leagues in hitting right now. He's hitting some ridiculous thing like 421. And he hit a home run. And he didn't do a bat flip, you know, how you throw the bat in the air. He takes the bat and he chucks it towards the dugout. You know,
yeah,
like,
I saw that.
You know?
That. Somebody called it a bat flip. I'm like, that ain't no bat flip. That's a throw.
Yeah, it was a javelin spike. Yeah. And so the Royals got it all in their feelings. They hit him later in the game. And the bench is emptied, and the managers got into each other's faces, yada, 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 yada. But, you know, people are all mad about Anderson for doing this. And this is on the heels of that whole, if you've seen the commercial, how could you avoid the commercial, the Mike Trout with all the stars, where they're answering in all the cliches.
And they're asking, like, they're starting,
And then all of a sudden,
I'm going to hit 50. I'm going to hit 60. Yeah. Let the kids play.
And then let the kids play when Trout leans in. Let the kids play. That's my thing. Let the kids play. This is good for baseball.
I think it adds to the excitement. It definitely does, because one knock on baseball has always been it's boring. It's boring. And for you to have that kind of drama, especially when you have your rivals and you have that kind of drama, I think it's exciting for the game. Now, we don't need the bench clearing. We don't need that every night. But the kind of bat flipping thing is kind of cool. Bryce Harper did it when they played the Nationals. He flipped that thing up, and it spun like four times. When he crushed one, and he flipped it up. And there was nothing behind that. It was kind of like a respect thing. But I think this is a feud that has been going on for a while between these two teams.
Yeah, see, so I have no problem with the bat throw. I also have no problem with the fact that Kansas City went after him, hit him in the butt. Now, you can't – now, there's a difference between
– them pitches hurt.
I understand. but between – there, to me, a big difference between doing that and what Florida did to Acuna last year, which was headhunting.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to headhunt anybody, man, because you could cause some serious damage. Them baseballs hurt, man. And when you see cats get hit with, like, what was that? Who got hit with? Brian McCann? No. Or was it Tyler Flowers got hit in the hand?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that man, listen, those things hurt. And, you know, much respect to a dude sitting in there, sitting at the plate, when somebody's throwing high and tight 95, 94 miles an hour. Man, come on.
Yeah, I know.
Much respect.
And it's too bad, in a way, that the Braves don't have a rival. And they really don't have a rival.
You wouldn't call the Phillies this year being a rival?
I mean, on a year-to-year basis, they may have something going on with the team. To have a rivalry, both teams have to be invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies look at the Braves. Who the Phillies don't. The only reason the Phillies would hate the Braves is because the Braves are, you know, good.
Well, and the National League champions. That's the reason.
I know, yeah. But as a general rule, Philly fans are all oriented to hating anything and everything that is New York. I mean,
or the Nationals,
right? I mean, they're not.
I think they feel some kind of way about the Braves. I'm trying to remember. I think there was a little something there for the Braves.
A little something, but I mean nothing really big. The Braves really never had, because for all those years they were in the NL West. What, we're gonna be the Dodgers or the Giants? I mean, they're 3,000 miles away. I mean, if New Orleans were a big enough and nice enough town to have a major league team, we'd be rivals with them. But it's not. So they're stuck in AAAville. They're like, you know, playing Gwinnett or something. But you know, the thing is that you don't have a rival with the Braves, which is too bad, because we don't have that hate, you know, that can be, you know, we plunk your guy, you plunk our guy, you know, kind of thing. You know, I kind of miss that.
You kind of miss guys getting plunked every night?
No, I just miss having a rival. I mean,
no, but
the Hawks don't really
but that's
have a rival
basically what
either.
You're talking about, getting plunked. Like to the, you're talking about a rival to the point where it could potentially be a bench clearing or somebody getting plunked every night. That's what you're talking about.
Well, but see, I don't have a problem with people flipping bats as long as they understand that they're probably going to get targeted. Yeah, here from the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. He hit a home run. This is with the 678. Act like you've been there. John, you wouldn't flip a bat against Bob Gibson. Of course I wouldn't flip a bat against Bob Gibson.
He's Bob Gibson. See, and I think, to be honest, John, I think that's where baseball is a little stuck, and that's why a lot of people feel like baseball is slow, because you have, no disrespect to the person that, you know, texted on Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, but you have a lot of older people that frown upon the showboating in baseball. And we heard it last year here on the Braves broadcast a lot of times. When guys would do certain things, guys would step in and talk about how that's not great for the game and how the game, Listen, I understand more than anybody that baseball is rooted in the accolades and the history of the game and all the honors and you know, the stats that stand the test of time. I get that. But baseball is like every other sport. It has to evolve. It has to. You look at football. Football is not played the same way that it was played in the 60s. It has evolved to the point where, you know, it's more of a passing game. It's more of a game that's more wide open. You got offenses that are more wide open. What's wrong with kids going out there playing baseball and maybe flipping a bat, maybe getting some juices flowing, maybe cranking up the rivalry so that people will come to the ballpark? Not trying to say you want to make it MMA, but they want to see that little tete-a-tete back and forth with certain players. Maybe they want to see that.
I do.
Yeah, and I'm, again, I understand that baseball is rooted in a lot of history with a lot of the stats that have stood for years, eons. But I think that in order for baseball, I mean, and it's making money, but in order to bring younger fans in, you got to have a little bit of that. And that's why MLB is starting to embrace a little bit. Because, you know, they were kind of reluctant to embrace that let the kids play thing. This is kind of something that they've been trying to, like, throw that out there for like the last 4 or 5 years? Because remember, I think it kind of started with Bryce Harper, because Bryce Harper was the guy that I can remember that a lot of people really didn't like because they thought he was arrogant. They thought he was, you know, a punk, for lack of a better word to think about. I know he's not a punk, but that's how some
old school baseball players, I have no idea. Maybe he is.
But that's how some old school baseball players described him. So, you know, I think in some sense, some of that is potentially good for the game.
Oh, I think a lot of it's very good for the game. I mean, you think about great baseball fights. When was the last time you saw a great baseball fight?
See, you taking it somewhere else again. I'm not talking about going out
but
there.
But don't
swinging.
We remember them?
Who was the dude? They was here a couple years ago that got punched all up in the face. Oh, I can't remember his name.
No, we're talking about the great baseball fights.
You used to play with Batista. Remember
yeah,
to
right,
be,
right.
Yeah, well, he got two-piece.
Right.
Pow,
pow. Pow, I mean, the great Robert Ventura against Nolan Ryan, which is one of my favorites because Robert Ventura tells such a great story about running out to the mound, dropping his bat, taking off his helmet, and running it. And he said, because if you remember it, Nolan Ryan got him and started beating on him because Ventura turtled up. Because Ventura said, I'm halfway to the mound. And I thought, oh my God, I can't hit Nolan Ryan. He's Nolan Ryan. I can't hit him.
Who was it that I think it was for the Red Sox. Who beat up the old man when he ran on the mound?
Don Zimmer.
Pedro
beat up Don Zimmer.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yes. But my thing is this. This is why I don't think it happened that much. Because at some point, when you're with that bravado and all that air in your chest,
right,
you realize that you really ain't about that life, and you back down. I think that's great for the game as well.
If you've never seen the Champ Summers, Bob Horner with the cast, Pascual Perez with the bat, Padres Braves fight, YouTube it. YouTube, Pascual Perez, Champ Summers, Padres Braves fight. It is the most incredible. There were two of them in that game. The most incredible baseball fight of all time. And it's worth the YouTube. You're going to go, oh my God. Yeah. Intercom Radio Atlanta going to be celebrating Earth Day on Monday. We're going to be broadcasting live from Metro Atlanta Urban Farms at College Park. The morning show is going to be there 6 to 10 on Earth Day on Monday. Our mission is planting and growing an urban garden to harvest and provide organic fruits and vegetables to families with limited access to health nutrition. We'll be there live. That'll be a lot of fun for us on Earth Day on Monday.
Earth Day is going to be awesome.
We have to pick up some of those organic fruits and vegetables. I will be under house orders from the Maven to bring back a whole bag
good
of those.
Greens.
Dan Wolkin, what he has to say, USA Today's lead columnist about G-Day and about spring games and the state of college football, live next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90. Tonight, the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.